The word of God is light. The word of God is truth. The word of God is life. Join God's servant, Apostle Jonathan Shekonia of Family Worship Experience International, as we journey into the reality of kingdom truth.
Wherever you are, can you just lift your hands to the heavens and tell him, Lord, you reign over my life, you reign over my entirety. Lift your voice, say, Lord, you reign. Lord, you reign. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Kabroza tabakasitaya. Lebaroza kabara seteke shabalande rabakatia. Lekazombra shataya. Zinabo shabriate kesita. Labakozatabraya. Lord, you reign. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Tabro sata. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Alright, can you hold the hand of someone? And in a few minutes, you're going to pray and say, Lord, tonight, change our lives by your word. Can you go ahead, talk to the Lord? Lord, change our lives by your word. Are you praying? Are you praying? Lord, change our lives. Come on, are you praying? Are you praying? Lava Rosa Bakatia. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus be praised. Jesus be praised. Jesus be praised. Jesus be praised. In Jesus' mighty name. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy.
You are holy.
You are holy.
Holy.
Are you, Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. There's nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. And we cry, no. Oh, nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. And we worship you, Lord. We give you all the glory. Nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. Hey, we are crying, Lord. Yeah.
Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. Hey, we cry tonight. We cry tonight, yeah. Nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. Come on, two more times. Can you declare? Oh, yeah. Nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord. Yeah. One more time, declare, say, oh. Nobody like you, Lord.
Nobody like you, Lord.
I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Yeah. Nobody great. Nobody's great, I know. Nobody's greater than you. Can we just take out some time to worship? Of course, we'll teach tonight. Oh, nobody's great. Yeah. Nobody's greater than you. Yeah. Nobody's greater. Nobody's
greater.
Yeah. Nobody's greater. Yeah. Nobody greater than you, yeah.
Nobody's greater.
Nobody's greater.
Nobody's
greater. Let him hear just the voices declare all about this building. Nobody's greater. Nobody's great, I know, yeah. This is family worship experience. You have to come with an expectation. Nobody's greater. As you worship, He has a way of meeting you. Nobody's greater. Oh. Nobody's greater. Nobody's greater. Nobody's greater. Hey, hey, nobody's greater. Nobody's greater. Nobody's greater than you.
Just whisper it to Him.
Nobody's greater than you. Nobody's great. Nobody's great. Nobody's great. Nobody's great. Nobody's great. Meina ida kasoni haka. Meina ida kasoni haka. Abume ya pigo dia shine zambaka. Abume ya pia bo shine zamba. Meina i, meina i.
La 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 la
Has the Lord been great to you?
Yabo.
Later, can you just sing it to him some few more times?
Yabo, 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 Yabo. Yabo, Yabo, Yabo.
Two more times from the depth of your heart.
Yabo, Lord, you've been great to us. We give you all the praise. Take the day.
Father, unto thee shall the gathering of your people be. Tonight we've gathered, and Lord, we ask that you visit us, teach us your word, make us become better. Let no one remain the same. Help us, O God. Open our eyes, O God. Thank you, Father, for the things you will do. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Please, can you be seated if you can? God bless you.
Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Can we have the message? Let's use the message. God bless everybody for your sacrifice. Many of you had to enter the rain to be here this evening. Many of you got soaked. The Lord will reward you greatly. Hallelujah. Genesis. Are we set to continue with our relationship teaching? Or should we postpone it? Alright. Many of you will never be good politicians. See the way you are shouting. You are not even in the house yet. If you become a senator, you will be leading a fight. Is that not? Hallelujah. Alright. There are a lot of things you have to consider. In fact, there is something very powerful we did in Kefi on Friday. I can't wait for us to have it next week. What's next week? My God. Miracle service. It's for good. Relationship and marriage series, part 2. Let's finish it and rest. Those who are not here will download the message. They will get it from media and then flow with us. Is that fine? They can get it and always listen. Last week, we considered a lot of things. Tried to consider some reasons people go into relationship and marriage that are not really strong reasons enough. And then I show us how many people get into marriage, and of course marriage, and their spiritual life, the fire they used to carry, is nowhere to be found. And at times even their dreams are dashed, hard plans to do great things for the kingdom, and they end up doing absolutely nothing. And I showed us things that can always lead to that. And tonight I want to proceed from where we stop. I will show you few conditions necessary for a godly relationship. But before then, hold it. Let's start with three scriptures. Genesis 2:18. Are you there? The message. God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Right? Then he said, I'm going to make him someone who will become a helper and a companion. This is one of the essence for marriage. A helper. So you are not even supposed to go into marriage until there is something you are doing and you need somebody to help you. If you are getting married simply because you are of age, it's not a valid reason. If it's simply because you now feel you are 25 as a lady, or the young man is now 34 and everybody around you is putting pressure on you and you want to get married, you've not found purpose, you are not doing anything reasonable, according to scripture, you are not even supposed to get married. Because the person you are bringing into your life is supposed to be number one, what? Call it, it's in the Bible, what? A helper. You are only to be helped when you are doing something. Is that true? Somebody cannot help you do nothing. And then number two, companionship, because loneliness is dangerous. This is why people can commit suicide when they are lonely. It can bring depression and then bring all kinds of things. And this is very dangerous. So the Bible says, I will make you a helper. Number two, a companion. Let's read on. Let's just read on to the last verse. So God formed from the dirt of the ground all the animals of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he will name them. Whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. The man named the cattle, named the birds of the air, named the wild animal, but he didn't find a suitable companion. Meaning, while he named them, he was looking for a companion among them, right? And at the end of the naming, he will not find a companion. Next verse. God put the man into a deep sleep. As he slept, the Bible says God removed one of his ribs and replaced it with the flesh. Then God used the rib that he had taken from the man to make woman and presented her to the man. The man said, finally, meaning he had been looking for someone. How many of you have come to your finally? How many of you have come to your finally? Finally, you've reached your bus stop. Are you there yet? If you are not there, may the Lord bring you there. Even Adam got there. He said, finally, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Then the Bible said he named her. That word woman was both a surprise and a name.
Woman.
Right? Because she was made from man. Then the next verse, the last. Therefore, a man leaves his father and mother and embraces his wife. Give us King James, this version. There's something I'm looking for here in the King James. Oh, Jesus. Not new King James, old King James. I'm getting old. Young man, old King James. I'm getting old. Not new King James. Therefore, not the, is it the last verse? Is it the last verse? At least I have my Bible. This is the last verse now. What are you talking about? And they were both naked. And what happened? The man and his wife. And were not what? Ashamed. If you become naked before a woman you are not married to, you be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself. Are you hearing? The Bible said the man and his wife were naked and they were not what? So if you ever become naked before a woman, before a man that you are not married to, what should happen to you? No, according to this scripture, what should happen to you? You should be ashamed. The Bible said they were born naked and we are not ashamed. Why? They were husband and wife. So the only person you should stand before and not get ashamed in that state of your creation, not a sister, not a woman, not a lady, it should be what? A wife. You are now quiet, ba? Give us the next scripture. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9. Go back to the message. Two are better than one. It's better to have a partner than to go eat alone. Share the work and share the wealth. Very nice, right? Let me not talk on this. Family finance, right? Alright, next verse. And if one falls, the other helps. But if there is no one to help, the Bible says it is tough. Next verse. Two in a bed does what? If you are not married, close your ears. Alone, what happens to you? All night you'll be shaking and shivering all night. But listen, I have a remedy for you. You don't need to shiver. Alone, you have a blanket. Alone, you have pillows around your room. Is that? If you are alone, buy plenty pillows. Like I have plenty on my bed. Buy plenty. When you turn like this, you hug this one. When you turn the other way, you hug another one. Then use a blanket to cover yourself. Because the Bible said, two keep warm. And if you don't have the second partner, you are not married. Look for your or blanket. If I catch you. Hallelujah. Alright, Proverbs. One more scripture. Proverbs 18:22. This scripture is going to be very important later. Find a good spouse. You find a good what? Ah, I like this. I like this. Find a bad spouse. You find what? Choose between poverty and a bad woman. Which one will you choose? Brothers. All of you are now confused. Keep quiet. Listen to me. Find a good woman, a good wife, a good lady. The Bible says you find what? A good life. A good life. Ah. And even in addition, what do you find? Favor. You find favor. When you find a good woman, remove that word good. It will now read, if you find a spouse, a good spouse, you find what? Life. You find life. If you find a good one, no, not any type. That is one you can find, and what you just met was Abi's bad life. Bad life. People will see you emaciating and reducing, and they don't even know why you are reducing. No sickness, but you are reducing. Hallelujah. All right, let's not be faster. Just wanted you to see some scriptures. What are the few conditions to endorsing a woman or a man? You want to get married, you want to go into a relationship. What are the conditions necessary? Let's discuss a few, because people these days can be very funny. Do all kinds of funny things, go into all kinds of funny relationships. So as a believer, what are the conditions? What must you see in a person before you say yes? For many of you, I know by word of knowledge that a lot of you here now who are at the verge of decision. The Bible says multitude in the valley of. There are a lot of you now in the valley of decision. There are two guys asking you out. And for the ladies, there are three guys. Now you are thinking in your mind, Lord Jesus, which way do I go? Lord, who is the right person? Let me not miss my path. Listen, let me show you a few things you consider. Apart from the fact that, all right, the Lord can speak to you. Few things that should become like standard. These are the basic things you must first look out for. You don't just rush into it because you are... No. There are a few things. Number one, whoever you are considering must be born again. The person is a must. You are a Christian, you don't just endorse any kind of person. No. He must be born again. Really, really born again. Hallelujah. Because you see, it is possible he goes to church but he's not born again. It is possible she goes to church but she's not born again. That you go to church, read your Bible once in a while, put it under your pillow to sleep, does not mean you are born again. In fact, most people who put their Bible under their pillow to sleep, they are not really born again. Because by now you should have realized, listen, that it's not the one you put under your pillow, it's the one inside you that fights the enemy. Are you hearing me? So you must look out for the person who is born again. That should be the first condition. I've been privileged to meet a few people. You ask somebody, is she born again? And the young man tell you, I really can't tell. Or, is the young man born again? Then the lady will scratch her head and said, I really can't tell. I don't know if he's born again or not, but I know he goes to church. You are not supposed to even answer a yes for that kind of person. Because some of them could be like Cornelius. How many of you know Cornelius in the Bible? Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. The Bible says he was committed. He was prayerful. He was a godly man. But he was not even born again. That's a mysterious statement. So somebody can be in church listening to the word of God. Somebody can even have a Bible. Anytime he's going to church, he carries it and places on his chest. But he's not even born again. When he had that vision, the angel told him, send for Peter. He will come and show you how to get born again. Meaning he was doing all of those activities blindly. Not even born again. So a man sincerely can even be very committed, but not born again. And this is the danger. When you marry somebody who is not born again, it's just a matter of time. You are going to see the other side of the person. Believe me. The only thing that makes someone broken is the new life he has in Christ. Believe me. One time, let me share a testimony with you. It was really a testimony or a story. I met a pastor some time back and he shared his story with me, and it's a very pathetic one. When he was ready to get married, he went to a club to go and pick a wife. Listen carefully. Don't do hmm, because many of you too, the way your eyes is choking. Right? It was time for him, quietly packaged himself one evening, went to a club and stood there like this. Life story, told me one-on-one, not second-hand story. First-hand. And then he saw a lady who had the kind of shape he wanted. Dancing in a club and just enjoying herself. After it all, he called her and spoke to her. He said, see, I really want to marry you. Directly. And guess what? He truly married her. Somehow he just brainwashed her and told her to get born again. And listen, if someone is getting born again because of you, they are truly not born again. You don't have the capacity to make somebody get born again. It's only the Holy Spirit that convicts men. Then somebody tell you, I'm changed because I met you. Ah, you are the one helping me. You know, with you in my life. Ah, church every day. The day you leave me, I will backslide. And somebody is telling you like that, and you are standing. He's already telling you the day you... And many guys can be funny. You are the one helping me since you came into my life. Can't you see I'm changing? If you leave me now, I go back to the world. My blood will be held on me. You'll be responsible for the blood. All kinds of funny things. When we get to heaven, God will punish you for not standing by me to be. Are you joking? Was I the one that died for you? If you want to change, my brother, change. If you don't want to change, sit there when you get to heaven, you explain your life. Are you hearing? And then many ladies will foolishly follow and say, are you serious? You want to change because of me? Oh yeah, now let's go to church. You are joking. He's not changed. He's not changed. One day he will turn around and give you a slap and tell you he's the old man in me. Just hold that one. I'm changing gradually. Not completely changed. Hallelujah. This young man married her. And he was just young, 25 then. He married very early, a pastor. Few months into marriage, the lady will leave him for 2 days and come back later. As that when he was sharing the story with me, they had 2 children. And the woman was not with him. She had been away for more than 8 months. She can abscond and be with one of her ex. There's something called ex now. XYZ. She will be talking to him. Give the other man the phone. Talk to my husband. He's my husband. Greet him. It was not something she was scared about. And then the man of God told me, I think the Lord is giving me the Hosea kind of ministry. I said, you are lying. You are lying. Which kind of Hosea? Did the Lord tell you to go and marry from there? You quietly went because of your eyes. Pick somebody who is not born again. Now he's lashing out on you. And you are saying the Lord give you a ministry of Hosea. Are we Israel? By adoption. Not physically. So if you are considering anybody, a lady, a man, the first condition is that the person must be born again. It's not something you should try to bargain. He must be born again. A lot of people made mistakes. She's a lady, I will change her. Really? That's number one. Number two, the person must be visionary. Ladies, listen. The man must be visionary. Most especially, of course, ladies too be visionary, but the man must be visionary. Does he know where he's going with his life? Or you are just entering his van to drive you anywhere he wants to lead you to? He must be visionary. Where are you going with me? Where are we going to together? There are men that can never sit down to tell you why they are here. And listen, if in one sentence you cannot explain to another person your life assignment, you don't know it yet. So you sit down and ask the man, all right, when we get married, where are we going? He says, I will talk to you next week. This person I've been expecting it, but next week. You will meet him next week, say, why are you in a hurry? Are we not together for a lifetime? Calm down. I will share with you. And he keep posting you. My sister, he doesn't know where he's going. And this age is not the Abraham age. You know, Sarah kept following blindly. If you follow blindly, you are getting into a doom. Many people don't know where they are going. Don't follow blindly. Ask him. He should be able to define it. Vision. And this is the error I see. Right now, ladies are looking for people who don't even have vision, provided he has something. Does he have a car? Does he have a house? Is he staying in a one bedroom or two bedroom? As soon as it's two bedroom, oh yeah, you are ready for marriage. Are you playing? Visionary, purpose driven. You sit with him to talk, you are inspired. I mean, do you know there are people you can go out with and somehow there is a guarantee in your spirit? You are so sure somehow things will work out. Yeah. And there are others you talk with, you are even scared. Oh boy. Are you sure? And then maybe you now tell, all right, tell me your vision. Where are we going? And then he starts explaining his life and ministry, and your name is not even inside. They tell him, where is my path? He says, you just follow. Just follow. No, there must be a clear-cut vision. He must be visionary. Hallelujah. And the only thing that gives you vision is purpose. Let me differentiate it in 1 minute. The difference between purpose and vision is not far. Your ability to take your purpose and make it become your mental picture is what we call vision. It's simple. Your ability to take what you call purpose into your mind, create a mental picture of it, is what we call vision. They are one and same thing. It's just that one is a picture in your mind. Already you've entered that reality in your mind. It's called vision. When it's written down, you don't have the picture, but you can explain it is there. It's called purpose. Hallelujah. Number 3. That was just by the way. The person must have regard for spiritual authority. Spiritual authorities, rather. The person must have regard for spiritual authorities. Spiritual authorities. When you tell him, let's go and see my pastor, that's the first sign you will know whether he has regard or not. There are many people who will never do that. Many will never. Let's go and see my pastor. Say, must we see him? Let's go and see my uncle. Must we see a pastor? Who is your spiritual father? God. God is my spiritual father. I don't have anybody. Listen, any man that don't have an authority he listens to is very dangerous. I mean very dangerous. Because it means the day he chooses to maltreat you, there is no voice that will calm him down. There are men like that, when they are angry, even if their father-in-law calls them, they don't pick. Have you seen things like that? They can even shout on the man. Nothing calms them down. There must be one voice that has the ability to melt that man down. For you, which voice melts you down? Is there any voice you respect with your heart as soon as you hear it? There is something that happens to your spirit. For me, I have that voice. There is one, even if I hear when I'm passing, it's playing somewhere. I just behave myself. One. Hallelujah. For many, they tell you the only person I respect is my grandfather. Are you playing? He will soon die. Meaning when he dies, you are in trouble. When he chooses to misbehave, nobody will calm him. He must have regard for spiritual authority. Some ladies don't even have it. It's not just the men. You tell a lady, ah, let's go and see my pastor. They say, which kind of pastor? Me, I'm not going anywhere, anywhere. Must we see a pastor? Have you seen my parents? Very funny things. They must have regard for spiritual authority. Ask the man, who is your father? Who is the person that can call you even if you are sleeping, you wake up and then pick immediately? Is there somebody like that in your life? So that when there is problem tomorrow, I know where to run to. Hallelujah. This is very important. Very, very. And then, for young men that plan to go far, let me give you 2 more to add before I give you the last one. She must believe in you and your assignment. You are trying to consider a lady for a relationship, for marriage. She must believe in you first. And be able to believe in your assignment. What are you called to do in life? Are you a businessman? Does she believe in you? Does she believe in that business? Does she show a sign of regard for that business? Okay, you are a politician. Does she believe you can make it? Does she believe that that's where you're called to be? There must be that regard. She must believe you and be able to believe your assignment. Not that, okay, you are a footballer, you like football, you are going into sports, but then every time she's talking about what now? Thinking about what? Huh? All of you keep quiet. She's talking about singing. She likes, when she says, singing, I like this thing. You say you're a footballer, look at your legs, you can't even play anything. How I wish you were a singer. Huh? is a sign you will never go far. Because what she admires is not what you do. That is a problem. So when you need advice, when you need encouragement, it's a sign you will never get it. Because you'll be talking another thing when you are concerned about a different thing. She must be able to believe in you and then believe in your assignment. If you tell her, the Lord is calling me to be... What looks very insignificant and irrelevant? What is it? The Lord is calling me to be what? A plumber. My life assignment is that I will plumb every house I see. Even if they don't have money, I will do it for free. They can pay me later. That's my passion. The Lord told me I'm going to be a plumber. She must tell you, wow. I love it. If you find a lady like that, you will go very far. She don't care. Others can be driving and doing all kinds of things, but she so believes in you and your plumbing. Listen, with time, you will soon become the best plumber. Because there is somebody who is cheering you up. You already have a fan in one person. You see it? She must believe in you. You don't even look like you can make it. I'm just patching with you. Let's go. Really? Young man, you want to go far? She should believe you and believe your assignment. Not even ministry. Put it assignment so that it won't look spiritual. Believe your assignment. Okay, the Lord is calling you into education. You're going to have schools. You're going to do this and do that. You're going into education. And then she tells you, me, what kind of education? Me, I don't like this kind of thing you're talking about. Can't you go into ministry? Preach the word of God, must you be? If that's the case, run away. Run away. She must believe you and believe your assignment. Hallelujah. Very important. Very important. And then she must be teachable. The lady must be teachable. She must be willing to learn, not just from others, from you. Not somebody who argues with you over everything. She argue over the next hairstyle, argue over your shoes, argue over your clothes, argue over everything. Run away. You'll soon turn your house to a courtroom. Hallelujah. It must be someone who is teachable. Remember that when God gave the commandment, he didn't give it to Eve. Is that true? But later when the serpent asked, she rehearsed and recited it word to word to serpent. Question, who told her? Somebody must have taught her. Is that true? Let me put it this way. Marry a man that has the ability to pastor you. It should be a man that has the ability to pastor you. He should be able to teach you. I'm not saying he must be a pastor, get me right. But he should have the ability to teach you something. Ladies. And then you, the guy, you should be able to say something. She should be teachable, ready to learn, willing to learn. Hallelujah. And then the final on this. Whoever you are considering must be a lover of God. Not just born again now. An addicted lover of God. Because for her and for him to love you, it is usually the overflow of the love they have for God that pours on you. The more they love God, the more they love you. The deeper they go in their walk with God, the more they love you. Marry somebody who loves God passionately. If that becomes your situation, you are almost going to enjoy your relationship. I mean, all through. Someone who loves God dearly. You become a benefactor because it will overflow on you. You will become a beneficiary. Hallelujah. Very important. Now, I've been sounding so spiritual, right? What are the physical qualities to look out for? Get ready for me. Number one will surprise you. Neatness and decency. everybody say neatness. I've heard people say neatness, I mean cleanliness is next to what? My dear, very true. Very true. To be clean is next to being godly. Marry somebody who is clean. I mean clean. Everybody say clean. Because listen, if you are looking neat and clean, or let me put it this way, for me, each time I want to have time with God or I want to retreat with God, I ensure that the environment I'm using is very clean. If it's my room, I wake up in the morning, I'm starting the retreat that day, I tidy it up, ensure it's clean, dress the bed, ensure the place is clean. It is, for me, it's easier for the Holy Ghost to even visit that room. Hallelujah. Everywhere is scattered, your life scattered, your dressing scattered, you will meet a scattered person. Because like begat like. It must be someone who is neat and clean. Neat and clean. From your dressing, to your hair, to your shoes. There are guys, if they pull their shoe, you won't sit there. Say amen. If they pull their shoe to enter a room, at times, they know their shoes. When you get to a place, they have to pull, they will say, no, 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 the Lord is not leading me to enter. No, it's not true. The Lord is not leading you to enter. It's their shoe. When they pull it, you can't sit there. My brother, wash your socks. It doesn't take so much. Wash your socks. If your shoe have contaminated that dimension so much, put it on the sun. Put the shoe on the sun. Why must you be disturbing people around? Anywhere you enter. Hallelujah. Neatness. Neatness. There are people who feel it doesn't matter. Now you get married. If you are about to be married, listen carefully. If you get married, maintain your cleanness. Maintain the clothes you are wearing. Maintain your dressing. Don't get married and start sitting down with wrapper every day. Are you hearing me? Now you are married. The man used to like you when you wear trousers and you're just coming. Or wear your nice skirt and your blouse. Or what? Whatever. But you used to look nice. Now you are married. Every time he's coming back home, you tie a wrapper on your chest and just sit down casually. And he's wondering, what is this? Is this the lady I got married to? What are you? Listen, there are many secretaries in the office. Be careful. If not, one day he will see you and look at you and say, must I come close to you? No, just stay there. There is. Be careful. Ensure you are neat. And there are people who naturally, I don't know, they are not gifted in taking their bath. I mean, they don't bath. They can bath once in a day or once in 2 days and they are fine. Honestly. You sit close to them. Thank God for this weather. Rain is falling, so everywhere is nice now. If not, as I'm talking now, you would have known somebody sitting to you and say, ah, brother, you are the one who. You sit close to them, you feel like leaving the church. No, it shouldn't be that way. Listen. How much is a roll-on? Oh boy, how far? If you buy it, it will take you 2 months. Buy it. And there are cheap perfume that scent nice. So why not get one for yourself? Are you the most broke person? Why are you behaving like that? Try for us now. At least a little perfume when you are coming out, just put a little and come out. Said nice, look nice. I'm not saying you should be very expensive. No, but look, are you telling me you don't get 500 in 1 month? What are you talking about? Buy a roll-on, buy a little perfume. When you're coming out, if it's one trouser, iron it well. Let the ghetto be reporting. When you are arriving, they should know you have arrived. Yes. When you arrive, you don't need to announce. By seeing your ghetto, they know you've arrived. You see it? But you know you have 2 clothes. Anytime you want to wear it, it's from the hanger. Where you dried it, you just carry it and say, well, here we go to the ends of the earth. You wear it. It's not supposed to be. What are you doing like that? And then when they ask you, you say, we are going to the world. Forget about how I dress now. You are dressing like that, you might ask her out and she tells you no. And you see, brothers now have this, they believe, hence the Lord spoke, the lady must say yes. They'll just come and say, the Lord said it. Once have you spoken. Twice. Forget about it. Ladies now to hear the Lord. You see? So, as soon as you say the Lord, they tell you, my ears are open. I can hear him too. Ensure you dress neat. Ensure you are neat. No, ensure you are neat. Hallelujah. Be very clean. Polish your shoe well. No, polish it. Buy queue and keep in the house. This queue, buy it, keep in the house for yourself. Because there are times you might not have money. Even if you are broke, come out with your shoe shining. No, come out. If you know that when you get there, your shoe will be dusty, put one hanky, one extra. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. Find one extra hanky, put it in your pocket. When you get there, find a stone, put your leg, clean it well. Then enter there like royalty. Don't make it look like God is not faithful. Then everybody that sees you now will tell you, hey, you are making it look like God is not faithful to you. Are you the only person here? Hallelujah. Be neat. Be neat. Right now, there are cheap materials you can buy like this and so. Is that it? Everywhere. So why not get it? Look for one of your friends that is learning tailoring. Let him rehearse on you. Measure me, sew anything. Or is a lady, measure me, sew anything. I will wear to the glory of God. Use me. Use me. I'll pay you 500. Use me. Hallelujah. Neatness. This is very, very important. Be very, very neat. If you know you take your, especially ladies, ensure you are clean. There are people let me tell you something. Many of you feel the only thing that attracts men to you is the spiritual virtue. You are lying. Most everybody has an eye. Say amen. When they see you first, it's not the spirituality they see. It's you they see first. They meet you first before they meet your character. They meet who you represent. You don't just dress anyhow and expect. No. No. Hallelujah. Number two. Look out for smartness and intellectual ability. This intellect, the person must be intellectually good. I'm not saying the person must go to school, no, but the sense of reasoning. I'm not saying the person must be a graduate, he must be ACCE holder or this and that. No, I'm saying the sense of reasoning. The person should be intellectually sound. The thinking should be sound. Hallelujah. Because you see, this generation we are in now, men are not just looking for ladies who have shape. They are looking for ladies who have brain. Are you hearing me? Because there are many ladies, the only thing they have is fruit of the womb. The only thing they have is fruit. No fruit of the mind. No fruit of the brain. They don't think well. All they have is fruit of the womb. You don't, listen, right now, men need ladies who will help them think. There are times he's doing so much and his brain is going block. He's thinking. You don't just come and sit there and say, yeah, okay, now when you finish thinking. What are you talking about? You should be able to bring something. Or there is something he's doing and then he gets to a place, he doesn't know what next to do. He says, go sleep now. Wake up tomorrow, continue. What are you talking about? And you are there? You are there? You should be able to come up with something. Alright, so how about putting it this way and doing it? Men are looking for people who will cooperate with what they have already. A helper. A helper. And this is the problem we have. Many are just relaxed, waiting for the man to come. He will be the one to walk, be the one to bring this, be the one to bring everything. So they are not even working on their mind. No. And you two, the ladies, listen. A man can be handsome and empty-headed. Are you hearing? That he's looking nice and clean and tall, dark, handsome, with a six-pack. Let me tell you something. He can have six-pack and have empty. Empty. He can be very romantic, but you can't marry romance. Because many of you are looking for, he must be romantic. Are you serious? What are you calling romance? Will he keep romancing you for a lifetime? He will romance you and you eat what? He will romance you and you wear what? You are looking for somebody who has the way he does his thing, he's classy and he represents, he belongs to this age, but mentally he does not belong to this age. But the way he does his thing, he's part of the age, he's happening, but mentally when they are talking, he's blank. Then when they leave here, he puts his hand in the pocket and starts bouncing again and say, I'm here. Your life is in danger. I bring you the word of God. If you are going out with someone like that, your life is in danger. Hallelujah. And amazingly, these are the kind of people many ladies are looking for. He must be slim. And then, I mean, this pot belly thing, I don't like pot belly. Let me tell you something. He can have pot belly and have a sound mind. You are not marrying his stomach. Are you marrying his stomach? God, let me tell you something. There are guys like that looking for ladies who are slim. Whether they think well or not, they should just be slim. Let me not say 98% of every Nigerian lady potentially is fat. If you like, storm me after now. It's just a matter of time. Very soon when they enter their rest, when they enter their Goshen, their Canaan, one day you look at them and say, my God, are you the one? Or oh, you think we don't know? So, brother, you that is just looking for slim, slim ladies, when you see a fat one, you say, pass, Joe. Then you see the slim one, you say, hey, check her out. That's it. Let me tell you something. That shape is just for a while, though. That slimness, when she enters into her Canaan, you know Canaan? Her rest. One day you will see her, you ask, are you the one we are expecting? Be very careful. This is another. That's why I showed you last week. If you marry on the basis of these things, that's not even a marriage. It's just a matter of time. It will soon scatter. You are marrying because the lady is slim. What if she gets fat? You are marrying because the guy is tall, flat stomach. What if the stomach starts protruding? Because even the Nigerian men too are not safe. Let me stop there. Right? You should stop there. Many of them are doing stocking now and putting it here and trying to show you their flat stomach. It's just for a while. Very soon you see that they are beginning to take shape. They are beginning to get balance. Work on your mind. That's what I'm trying to say. Work on your mind. Study books. Listen to messages. Work on your mind. Develop a very strategic thinking pattern. Constrain and stretch your mind. Don't just always be there. They must always tell you things to do. No, come to a point where you can also tell others. Be intellectually sound, mature. When someone leaves you in a place, they should come back and see that things are working. You see it? For instance, a man is a CEO, he has a company that is running, and then he's supposed to travel and he leaves his wife, the only for him to come and see that no staff is coming to work again. Are you joking? And you think he should be happy? You should be able to represent. Any man that is going far doesn't just look for your own. No, he looks for this smartness. Hallelujah. Very important. Communication ability. Communication ability. I'm not saying she must speak Queen's English or he must speak Queen English and all of those things. No. I'm only saying the person should be able to communicate well. Should be able to talk well with respect and honor. There are people who talk carelessly. You are a lady, you walk into a camp of guys, they are gisting and talking, you just arrive and say, hey, I don't come. What you want to talk, say, you, as a lady, upon your arrival, you take over the discussion. You say, just gisting what you are saying, let me know how to contribute. What are you talking about, Joe? And you are a lady. Even if a man was trying to consider something, he said, Jesus, hey, Lord. He won't say anything again. You should be able to behave yourself. Talk well. Talk calmly. Hallelujah. If you are walking, say walk calmly. I think I said it some times back. As a lady, a little catwalk is not bad. No, no, a little catwalk is not bad. Why must you be walking like a man? You arrive, you are just shouting and walking. Are you a man? What? Listen, once a while, wear high heels. If you know that... Listen, why are you shouting? If you know that you don't know how to walk calmly, because many of you are like that. Anywhere you are just there, you have arrived. You just come and scatter everything. Wait. If you don't know how to walk calmly, start wearing high heels. Learn it. Because you can't wear that one and run. Is that not? When you wear it, you walk majestically. Learn to... What are you talking about? These things I'm teaching you now, you think they don't matter. They do. They do. Hallelujah. You should be able to communicate well. Communicate well. To people who are elderly, people who are within your age, people below you. You see children, you don't just shout on every child you see. You come here, come here. Must you shout? Where are you coming from? There are places they don't even shout on their children. They just talk to them calmly. You just enter the house. You say, oh, so I don't come when I'm not in grief. Come here, come here. It's disrespect that is everywhere. You just arrive, you are shouting. Is that how you talk? Behave. Once in a while, behave yourself. Hallelujah. As I'm talking now, some of you know you are guilty. When you go to your auntie's house, that's why you shout on the children. Or when you arrive, will not see me as I enter. Greet me! What's wrong with you? You should be able to communicate well. Have respect, have honor for people. Hallelujah. Then finally, trust the Lord to give you someone you are always attracted to. Mark the selection of my words. I didn't say go for someone you are always attracted to, because some of you can be attracted to 10 people. Trust the Lord to give you someone you are always attracted to. And let me summarize it. I won't dwell long on this. I don't have the grace to say this. But listen. Let me use the words of a man of God. He said, ensure God help you to marry your temptation. So that even if you fall, you are still not sinning. May the Lord give you understanding. May the Lord give you understanding. Trust God to marry your what? Whatever tempts you. Trust God to bring your temptation your way to marry. So that when you marry your temptation and fall, you are only falling on the pleasant ground. The lines are only falling. Hallelujah. Very important. So trust the Lord for that. Amen. Wow. I told you. Lord, we're behind time. Alright. I told I was going to share with you the three kind of women today. Let me do that quickly and then run into two more things before we close. There are three types of women. Number one, the first category of women are those who are called the knives. The knives. When you marry one knife, you die plenty times. They will stab you, stab the life in you, stab your assignment and ministry, stab everything, stab strength out of you. You hardly can succeed when you marry one wrong one. I classify them into that name, knives. They can nag, they can shout, you are doing your best, no appreciation. These are the ones that the Bible talks about, that it's better to live on a housetop than to live in the house with them. These ones are knives. Very terrible. And if you are watching your life and you are beginning to grow like that as a lady, please watch it. Be very careful. Be very careful. They don't appreciate. They don't recognize difference. They are just there. They are now married. No encouragement for the man. Not in any way. If the man like, let him die. He comes back home in the evening. You don't care how it is. Where? Where is money? Is there no money? Look at your mate outside. You are a useless man. Are they who talk to their wives? Are husbands like that? You were a useless man. Your mates are doing this. They are building house, buying car, doing this. Look at the way we are in this house. You can't even do anything. You should be ashamed of yourself. When you hear a woman talk like that, she is a knife. Because that man will soon die. No matter what he tried to do, psychologically he's been depressed. Something is dragging him down. He tries to rise. He's trying his best. But nobody recognizes it. Nobody recognizes. Let me tell you something. If everybody does not believe in you, and you have one woman that believes in you, you will still do well. One in your house. When you go out, you are frustrated. You know the kind of country we live in now, where life is whipping people left, right, and center. Friends are fake all around. You meet people who are not genuine, they are not sincere, duping people and doing all kinds of funny things. You have been frustrated in the evening. You are coming back home to meet a woman who should encourage you. And then, do you know there are people who prefer to sleep in office than to come back home? Why do you think it's like that? The person at home is not even friendly. At times they have closed work by 4. Oh yeah, okay, go home. He said, go home and do what? Is this your, am I occupying space for you here? Leave me. Leave me. If I go home, I'm not safe. Let me just be here. When you hear a man talk like that, he's married to a knife. And there are many people suffering this. Ah, my prayer is that may you not fall into this. May you not fall into this. Number 2. Wives. Those who are wives. They are not knives. They've grown themselves to a level of being a wife. For this one, you can have a little encouragement. For this one, they are always there. They don't give you trouble. But you shouldn't even expect any serious encouragement. They are just doing their responsibility of a woman in the house. So they cook for you, eat your food. You tell them, oh yeah, madam, 1 a.m., open your leg. She just sit down, open her leg. She doesn't fight you. Madam, oh yeah, I want to eat pounded yam. She say, which time? 4 o'clock. She start pounding. But any other thing, you just go ahead. If you like, succeed. If you like, kill yourself. They don't care. There is not so much support, but they are taking their responsibility and doing everything as a woman. If you marry a wife, you have to be daring to succeed. Because you don't expect so much encouragement from them. You have to be daring. You have to be a strong man to succeed. You have to break your way through. Whether anybody is telling you well done or not, they are not giving you trouble, but you are not even receiving the encouragement. So you have to break through by all means. You have to be a daring man. And many women fall, of course, a lot fall around this class. Normal housewife. Normal, she too can go out in the morning once a while. She can bring a little support. Oh yeah, you say money don't finish. Oh yeah, I get 200 here, join. They can bring a little support like that. They are trying their best. This one is a wife. But it shouldn't stop there. That is the last category. These are the ones I call lives. They are not wives. They are lives. He that have a good spouse has what? A good life. These ones are lives. When you marry one of them, they are not plenty. You can just shout and say, me, Apostle, the last one is my class. Keep quiet first, hear me. Many of them can claim to be there. These ones are very few. When you marry one of them, listen, even if you were not supposed to succeed, by colliding with one of them, you have married success. By marrying one of them, you've married success. Because every encouragement you need, you have it. Every support you need, you have it. When you are crying, they are there wiping your tears and telling you, I know you failed, but you can make it. You are the strongest man I've ever met. When you meet this kind one, listen, when they talk to you, even if you were failing, you will do everything within your power to prove that what they are saying is not a lie. You went out, you came back frustrated. As soon as you come back home, they look at you and said, I know it didn't work, but it's going to work. Is it not you? I know who you are. You are a strong man. You have strength in the inside. When they talk to you, you are literally hearing the voice of God. There are very few that belong to that class. And this is why you must work on your mind. You must be smart. Keeping a home and maintaining a relationship, a marriage, takes more than being beautiful. It takes more than being handsome. No, there are things required. I've been surprised before the Lord showed me this. I've been surprised how a man can come and point at a woman and say, I am what I am because of this woman. Have you heard people talk like that? Have you not? Why not ask questions? Why will a man talk like that? A man that achieved so much will just come before the crowd, before the world. He will say, I am what I am because I married this woman. She made me who I am. Anywhere they are, they are no ashamed to say. How many men talk like that? No, answer me, how many? Very few. Because not everybody was fortunate to marry a wife. Many married wives. And the unfortunate one got nice. You see it? I was shocked when I saw Dr. Paul Enenche talk about Becky Enenche. He said, this woman, she's more than a wife. She made me. I am what I am because I met her. When you hear a man talk like that, you should ask, who is this woman? Because she's not just a wife. There is something she does to the man. It's more than giving him sex. It's more than giving him your body. It's more than cooking nice meal. I know there are men, their problem is food. For me, say food these days, I hardly eat. So if you are marrying because you think it's food, you have a problem because you come and carry your food. I went somewhere, I was somewhere yesterday. I went to just see some people and then talk to them. And then they lodged me in a hotel. As soon as I arrived, they brought plenty of food. I said, look at these people. Food. The food I ate, I can count the spoon. I think it was just 5 or 6 spoons. I just drank something. I'm okay. Then they came, and the welfare department that came, he said, daddy, you didn't eat food, you just made us cook. I said, did I tell you to cook? Just behave yourself. Did I tell you to cook? Your food, thank you for the one I ate. I know that I meant their own is food. You didn't cook? Why? They can be angry. If you marry a husband like that, you have a problem. You'll be cooking 2 a.m. You cook 4 a.m. They will arrive from wherever they went to. 3 a.m. They'll tell you, madam, what did you cook? I cook rice. I feel like eating pounded yam. Oh, yeah. And when you start preparing the yam, they are eating the rice. Many men like food. Ooh. The way to a man's heart is his stomach. A lot of men are like that. They like food. Oosh. Food. How many of you have seen this game? You know, many of you play game very well. I don't know the last time I played the game. But I know we used to play some game. You will see in that game, they have extra life. So even if they kill you in that game, you can go there and pick that life and you are still alive. Some women are extra lives. They are not just wives. They are, when you are dying, when you see them, you come alive again. You see it? You are shouting and sure you are part of that class. Oh. My prayer is that may God give you a life. When you marry one, have you not wondered why the Bible says if you marry one of those type, there is life? It says you obtain favor. So marrying one of them is like marrying favor. Even if things were not working for you, by meeting one, you are already successful. You are already successful. Their words are encouragement. And then not just encouraging you, they are like your powerhouse. They pray for you. I mean, they pray for you. Let me share a story with you. A man of God came to Nigeria some few years back, I think 2-3 years back, and ministered in Abuja. Very anointed, walking in terrible healing anointing. And then while he was ministering, he was giving credit to his wife. Like I'm just saying, and people do things like that. Giving credit to his wife. And then people were surprised. Why is this man of God talking about his wife like that? And he told them, the anointing you see upon my life is my wife. She's not here. But she's the one that made me what I am today. And people were surprised. So what did she do that is unusual? Every woman and every man of God can talk like that. He said, wait, let me tell you what I'm talking about. My wife is more prayerful than me. There are nights I wake up, I'm waking up 2 a.m. I see someone kneeling by the bed and praying, Lord, this man sleeping here must succeed. The assignment you put in his heart can never die. It's not even about herself. This man, he can never fail. And she's there praying. And then he said the one that surprised him the most. He said that at times he wake up. I don't think this is too healthy to talk about, but let me say it because he said it. He said that at times he wake up at night, he sees his wife lying down naked, making enchantment. Oh dear Lord, I come into covenant on behalf of this man sleeping. He can never fail. Even if he wants to fail, he can never fail. I'm coming into this covenant because of him. You gave him an assignment. Help the lady behind. You gave him an assignment. Lord, I'm coming into covenant on his behalf. He said that at times he wake up like that and he just start crying. He will look at her and say, what kind of woman is this? When you marry that type, what you have is not a wife. My dear, what you have is a life. Because already you are dying, she's the one keeping you alive. And then one day he said, he looked at his wife. He said, how do I reward you? I've given you myself already, but it's not sufficient. Then he said, what I'm going to do now is anything I buy, so long as I'm alive, I will buy it in your name. So all his cars, his houses, his private jet, everything he bought it in her name. He said, that's the only way I can reward you. That's the only way. What do I give you again? I've given you myself already. So he said, the anointing you see upon my life, I lay hand on people, they fall, they get healed. Me, I know this thing is not me, it's this woman. So anywhere he goes, before he starts preaching, when he blessed the name of the Lord, he talked about that woman. He talked about her. One time a man of God in this country, Pastor Billy Akani, many of you know him, a very anointed man, was preaching somewhere. And then he was supposed to go for the second ministration, I think the second or third day. And then stomach ache attacked him. He could not even move from his bed in his hotel room. And then his wife got the signal home. She got a vision, saw somebody, and then she realized it was her husband. Then immediately she went on her knees, started interceding. She didn't even know what was happening. And then the man got recovered, went for the program, ministered. And then he came back and was talking to his wife. He said, my dear, do you know I almost died? The second day of the program, I was about leaving the hotel. I could not move. Then she just smiled. I said, what hour was it? She said, so and so time. He said, that was the time I was praying for you. If you marry a life, what you have is an intercessor. What you have is an intercessor. What you have is an extra life. You are about to die. She can pick signal and know when things are. Ladies, this is why you must crave to be spiritual. It's not just about coming. You must crave to be spiritual. You marry a man who things are not working for. They tell you in their family nobody succeeds. Tell them I'm marrying him to make him a success. Come on now. It's in your Bible. When they marry you, they should marry favor. No, it's in the Bible. It is wrong for a man to marry you and his life run down. Very wrong. It means you are not even alive. You are not even a wife. For you coming into his life, these are the lives of women like Becky and Nenche. People who are dear. They are scarce. Believe what I'm telling you, they are scarce. But you can make yourself become one. You can make yourself become one. Right now there are ladies who are, it's like a competition. The man is trying to rise, the woman is trying to rise, everybody is trying to just rise individually, and then there's this kind of funny things here and there. As if they are even competing and doing funny things. Oh yeah, you, if you have more money than me, I will try to drag you down. I've counseled people and I hear all kinds of things. The man is having money, the woman got a job that they are paying. He said, no, you can't work there. Simply because they pay the woman more. It's like they are fighting and fighting themselves. What kind of life is that? May God give you a life. And similarly too, there are men you marry. Listen carefully. They cage you. I mean, they cage you. Cage your giftings. Cage your potentials. Cage everything you had the power to become. You marry them, you were on fire. You marry them, you were a potential lady that was going far. As soon as you marry them, they cage everything. No opportunity to do anything. You want to go out. And how do I know this? Even from now, you can know it from their relationship. They are extremely jealous, and their jealousy is even witchcraft. They call you, where are you? They can carry your phone and start looking. Who sent you a text? Are you a monitoring spirit? What's wrong with you? You just came into her life right now. The way you are attempting to separate her from everybody that has been a blessing is even alarming. There were people blessing her before you came. You just came 2 months back. Anybody you see, who called you now? Show me your phone. You go through everything. It's a sign if you marry him, he's going to cage you. You might never become anything. That height of jealousy is witchcraft. So right now, even the ladies should not come around him. Even the ladies she had as friend, rather, should not come around. Every other guy, she tell you, okay, I'm going for prayer meeting. Who is your head of prayer department? Are you not done with prayer? Or yeah, leave, start going home. What kind of life is that? Then you say, it's just because he loves me. Is that love? When he marries you, he will separate you from everybody. And listen, in this life, you don't rise until God sends men to your life. In this life, you will never rise until God sends men to your life. You are praying, Lord, bless me. When God wants to bless you, it's a man he sent. Are you aware? What you call breakthrough, what you call a prayer answer, is a man. It's not a spirit. Lord, answer my prayer. What you are saying is, Lord, send a man to my life. Because what you are praying and asking God for is in the hand of somebody. Is that true? Now God is beginning to bring people your way. And somebody just casually walking, there is no even assurance he's going to marry you. Then all of a sudden, everybody can live your life. Simply because he is jealous. He said, I am like that. I have this jealousy. I've tried to fight it. It can't go. My brother, you have a problem. You too. And there are men you marry, even if you were not able to do what you are supposed to do, by marrying them, they give you a platform. Not just give you a platform, they begin to encourage you. They incubate the gift in you, encourage you, and put fire on you until you become. By a platform, I don't mean the person is a pastor giving you somewhere to preach. No. For instance, let's assume the lady is calling to fashion. Now God have established you. You don't just tell her, hey, sit back, which kind of fashion, you are not doing anything. You can begin to establish her in that area. Alright, you are going to be a fashion designer. You must do it to the peak and you must represent the kingdom. You can do it well. You can compete with the world. Those are the kind of men you should marry. The one that will look at you and tell you, if you tell me you're going into business, then you have to be the best. You are competing with Dangote. If you tell me you're going into education, the schools you must open must have a British standard. If you tell me you're going into this and that, you must do it to the height. We are not for the least. We are supposed to be on top only. And I believe you have the strength. You can do it. The lady can tell you, no, me, I don't know. I'm coming from a... Tell her, no way. You have what it takes. Those who are doing it don't have two heads. You can do it. In fact, your head is bigger than their own. You see it? Dr. Miles Monroe married Ruth. Ruth was a very timid woman. He shared it himself. Very timid. If one visitor entered their sitting room and sit, she's already uncomfortable. When the second one enters, she will go inside like she's bringing water. She will bring water and drop and go in again like she's going to bring cup. She will never come out until the visitors are gone. She didn't have the strength to sit and miss more than two people. Not like many of you that can chat and miss 10 people. That one didn't have the ability. And then Dr. Myers told her, he said, for marrying me, you will talk to the world. I know you feel you are timid, but for marrying me, you will talk to the world. When they died, both of them were flying to a country for their leadership conference. And both of them were supposed to be speakers there. Internationally, you marry a man that can't bring out the best in you. What are you talking about? With all the potentials in you, with all the dreams you have now, with where you are going to, the man will wrap you together and keep you in a corner and tell you just be cooking and producing children. Is that all that there is? The place is quiet now, and of course, it should be like this. Marry a life. Marry a life. Someone that can start fasting. Just engage on a fast. What are you fasting about? I'm fasting for my husband. Is he aware? No, it's not his business. I'm fasting because he must rise. You see it? And listen, when your husband rises, you are rising already. You don't need to rise differently. You are rising already. Because when they call your name, they call his name attached. Is that it? Yeah. You have to crave to be in this class. Guys, decide within yourself that any woman that marries you must do well. She must do well. She can't be at the background. And any woman that you get married to should be a life ladies decide as I'm marrying him, he must succeed. For having me, he have to. Hallelujah. This is very important. Quickly, let's leave this because our time is gone already. Reasons for late marriage. Let me just pinpoint a few and then we'll pray. Why do people get married late? I want to show you a few reasons. Number one, unreasonable standards. Unreasonable standards. I think I've talked about this some times back. Where people have expectations, the person I'm getting married to must be this, must be that, must be this. He must have a house, 2-bedroom flat. He must run this and run that. Not everybody can get established like that. There are people, you marry them and you rise together. Is that true? Yes. Most of the great men we have right now, most of them married people and married their wives and started in one room. Right now, no lady wants to start our life like that. You tell them one room, you say, which kind of one room? If you don't have 2-bedroom, forget it, I'm not ready to get married. Unreasonable standard. Some of them even have their class. If he doesn't have a car, I'm not getting married. Those kind of standards have made a lot of people get married late. The person must be this, the person must be that, the person must have this, the person must have that. These false standards. And it's not like they have it themselves. Then they just load the burden on people. And this is why, at times I don't blame young men. See the way we are under pressure, trying to prove to them that we are succeeding. Is that it? Because they've told us, if you don't have this, we are not marrying you. So the guy will just go and get one car that has 3 legs. You say you need somebody that can, something that can run on the road. Oh yeah, I have a Golf 3 with 2 cars. I mean 3 legs. Oh yeah, 3 tires. The remaining one is with the organizer. Very funny. This kind of false standards. Number two, parental interference. This is where they can tell you. I'm showing you things that can lead to late marriage. Somebody has found a man she's supposed to get married to. Then the person say, if he's not our tribe, especially our parents and mothers and fathers, if he's not our tribe, you are not marrying him. Have you heard things like that? So the people are waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. This thing can lead to late marriage. Parental interference. They can tell you who to marry, who not to marry. At times they tell you the standard. And I counsel somebody today, just today in the morning. And the person was saying, my parents are insisting this and that and that. A lot of things. And this thing can delay people. I know of one that went back home and told her father, you say I must bring our language, va? Oh yeah, wait for me. That's how she sat down at home, bringing nobody. 2-3 years later, are you not bringing somebody? Are you not of age? Do and go. He said, I'm waiting for you to go and bring my tribe. You said, I should marry my tribe. I brought the other one. You said, no. Delay. Character problem. When there's a problem with character, everybody you meet, your character, send them away. Everybody you meet, your character, send them away. Everybody you meet, your character, send them away. Very soon you realize that you are 30 as a man, character sending the ladies away. Now you are 35, character, send them away. Now you are 40. Any woman that comes, they say, that one, he doesn't release money. Aka. I think that's what they call it, Aka. He doesn't release anything. And I'm not talking about Akagi or Aka that needs to clap and sing. I mean, Aka, yeah, it's gone. The one that is gone. They don't release money. You see, these ladies, they like money. They like money too much. They should like your face. Are you that handsome? They like money. Let me tell you something. Every lady likes money. It depends on how much they want. It depends on how much they want. But every lady wants money. Do you speak in tongues to make your hair? Do you speak in tongues to buy foundation? How about the building? But how about the roofing? We didn't speak in tongues to roof this thing. So if you do foundation, you buy roofing too. You buy everything. Ba? Personal decision to get established before marriage. There are people who have that. It's a personal decision. I want to be established first. At least have that before I get married. That too can delay and bring about late. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that you will use your pension to train your children. Do you get? There's nothing wrong with getting established, except that you might use your pension to train your children. Then the last one, demonic circles. Demonic circles. Where there are manipulation causing people not to get married, either in families. You see people, 35 ladies, 40, no marriage is happening, and there are 5 people like that waiting. This could be demonic manipulation that can be addressed in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Now, alright, let me talk about something in 15 minutes and then we'll pray. The Lord laid this in my heart to talk about, and then we'll pray. The book of Hebrews. And the reason for this is I found that this is one of the major areas the enemy is attacking relationships. Young people's relationship, especially, the enemy is affecting a lot of people in this area. Where a relationship cannot stand without sex. Have you heard things like that? I personally have been surprised this how people are about to start a relationship. These people are born again. They have to sit down afresh and discuss that there is not going to be sex. Question, was there supposed to be sex before? Are you married? No, are you getting the point? The lady will have to beg the man, please, as we are getting married, as we are getting into this relationship, there will not be sex. I have a question. Was there supposed to be sex before? So why are you discussing about that? It has become a serious issue. Right now, a man can even tell a lady, as we are starting this relationship, will there be sex? If there is no sex, I'm not doing. Are you kidding me? You are not doing? Have you paid anything? Is she your wife? The Bible says, husband and wife, you are naked and they were not ashamed. Are you not ashamed of yourself? That now you are not married, but you expect to keep sleeping with the lady, sleeping with her. You are now very tired of the whole thing. You say, oh yeah, let me drag you to the altar, Joe. You are not willing to say, stay aside. There are people waiting. That's what they are doing right now. And this is very alarming. It surprises me. So, a young man can even back out of a relationship. That is a young lady I spoke with like that. They've been relating for 3 years. I don't know where the man went and got the revelation from. He just came one day. 3 years relationship, no sex. He said, see, my dear, me, I'm tired. Are you giving me or you are not giving me because I want to leave? Give you what? Am I holding your money? The lady said, I'm not giving. That's how the man quietly backed out. Both of them born again. This is amazing. This is amazing. So we have to keep pounding this in church. Do relationship without sex. Was there supposed to be sex? Most of our fathers of faith got married clean. Married clean. These days, hardly, if you count 10 relationships, hardly will you find two happening without sex. It's becoming a problem. Then ask them, they will tell you, the nations are waiting for us. We are coming. You just wait. We will conquer territories. By what? No, by what? By immorality. Right now, they even tell you the grace of God cover everything. You've been forgiven before you even do it. Let's just do it and ask for mercy. Are you playing? What are you talking about? Hallelujah. One time, I was counseling a dear lady, and then she said, sir, I'm about to get married, but how do I know that the man is good on bed? I said, look at you. If I slap you, what are you talking about? How do you know he's good on bed? I said, by faith. By what? By faith. Wait a minute. When you got born again, how did you know that your sins are forgiven? Answer me. So now, You are getting married to a man. You don't want to use that faith now. You drop the faith. You want to go into practical. Is that, how do I know he is good? If he's not good, he will learn. Who used to teach goats? No, what he learn? Wait a minute, let's talk. Who used to teach dogs? Don't they learn? He's the man that, in fact, I don't think they are supposed to teach somebody self. Of course, I've not been there before, but when I get there, I know. What are you talking about? Hallelujah. No, what are you trying to learn? He's not good on bed, so are you playing? So they have to start testing themselves. They will test the first time. He said, no, that testing happened. Test the second time. He said, no, let's test another one. They are testing. If it's food you are cooking, before the food gets done, it's finished. Because you've been eating in the pot. I'm not laughing, no. I'm serious. You better be serious with what I'm saying. No, this is very alarming. These days, somebody can even meet a lady, they are meeting for the first time, they want to have sex. Have you seen things like that? Or heard things like that? No, this is surprising. This is somebody you don't know, you just met today. One lady came and met me like that. I said, Apostle, I went to see somebody. The first day they met, the person said, oh yeah, now, oh yeah, let's do something. She said, do what? Do you know me before? What if I have HIV? What if I'm a mommy spirit? So you are not now thinking straight again because you see a lady. There are people like that. And this is very wrong. Very wrong. This story of a pastor in Kefi. He's dating a lady and he told the lady, me, I want to sleep with you. The lady says, see, you can't sleep with me. I have HIV. And it was true. I know the lady. She truly had it. Of course, she made some mistakes and then contacted it. I have HIV. The pastor said, which kind of HIV? I beg, let's do this thing. She kept talking to him. The man will not agree until he forced her and slept with her. What, how are you thinking? Somebody's even telling you, I'm sick. And you are saying, no, you are only lying to me because you don't want to give me. And now he got it. Stupidity. Foolishness. You meet somebody for the first time. I mean, he's carrying it now as I'm talking to you. As a man of God. The other day I counseled somebody. The lady came and said, my fiancé is a pastor. He came and told me he's led to sleep with me. Who led you? Who led you? It can't be the Spirit of God. Who led you? And he carries prophet something something. Right now, it's not even just ordinary people that do. Even men of God. I'm usually surprised. And we plan to go far. One of the stories I will always not forget is Tiger Woods. Not born again. Had an affair outside marriage. His career ran down. Go and study his life. Run down. If it can affect somebody who is not even born again, it means it can affect. You see it? You don't just stay away from me because you are. No, as a Christian and on a normal ground, it's wrong. It's wrong. You have to be strong. Nobody is saying it's easy. You hear me and say, okay, body not be wood. Who told you body not be wood? Have you not read your Bible? And ye shall be like trees. Planted. A tree is a wood. A wood is a tree. Hallelujah. And look at what the Lord told me. He said one of the reasons behind many quarrels, fights, disagreements in marriages is because many of those marriages had something to do with themselves before marriage. Then he showed me the book of Proverbs 13:4. Media, can we have it? This is the scripture we are ending with and we'll pray now. The soul of the sluggard desired. This is the place. Give us verse 5. Or is it verse 3? Not Proverbs, sorry, Hebrews. I'm talking about Hebrews. It was Hebrews I called the last time. Sorry, Hebrews 13:4. Everybody read this. One to read. In how many things? When? When the bed is not undefiled, that's when marriage is honorable. And the Lord told me, honor is anything that money cannot buy and only God can give. Anything money cannot buy, but only God can give, is called honor. For instance, the love you need in your marriage, can you buy it with money? Can you buy trust with money? Can you buy understanding with money? Can you buy peace with money? But are these necessary to make a marriage work? Very necessary. He said for you to have them, grace your marriage, grace your home. This is the condition. The bed must not be defiled. As simple as that. The bed must not be defiled. So right now, many people mess with themselves and do all kinds of funny things. Now they are married and the man don't even like the woman again. The woman now doesn't, the man irritates her. There is no peace in the house. They can quarrel, they can fight. Funny things happening in the house. Ask them quietly, something happened. Something happened before they got married. Because this is supposed to be a reward. When they go into it and they are clean, this is supposed to be a reward. The things money cannot buy. How many marriages or how many relationships can truly stand or are truly standing without this thing? We're going to pray. Because listen, you must decide that your own case will be different. You have to decide it. Lord, my own case will be different. In case you've made mistakes in the past, it can be corrected now. In case things have gone wrong in the past, it can be corrected. Nobody is condemning you, but you have to decide. You have to decide. Your relationship should be a clean one, an award-winning relationship. Your marriage should be a blessing. It should be. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, can you just be on your feet?
In the glory and the honor,
Lord, I'm a partaker of your honor.
I see miracles, signs and wonders. In the glory and the honor, I see miracles,
signs and wonders,
signs and wonders, Lord. Signs and wonders,
I partake. Come on, in the glory
and the honor, I see miracles,
I see miracles
in my life, yeah. And the honor,
I see miracles,
signs and
wonders.
I want you to pray two prayers and then we'll be done. Lord, make me a gift to whoever is going to marry me. Make me a gift. Make me a gift. Make me a life to whoever you are bringing to marry me. if you're already married, Lord, make me a life for the woman. Make me a life to my husband. A life, an advantage to my wife. Can you lift your voice and pray if you understand what I'm saying? Can you pray? Whoever marries me should be grateful to God for having me as a gift. Should be grateful to God for having me as a gift. I can't be a liability. I can't run him down. I can't run her down. I can't be a disadvantage to her life. Whoever marries me cannot regret marrying me. And then are you praying? Rabakabashalada Babababada. Labarasopele Kebriana Mande Kepesh. Labarasopele Briana Mande Kepesh. Shadadadadadada Bakariala Dabasha. Membras Kataya. Come on, do you want your wife to be proud of you? Do you want your husband to be proud of you? Lord, make me a gift. Make me an advantage. My wife will never regret marrying me. Pray. My husband will never regret having me. Pray. Shalabarasete. Lekabarosopri alamanda ketiata. If this is all prayer tonight, that will be fine. But ensure you pray. Your marriage will have to be a blessing. Your relationship will have to be a blessing. Lekabarasoba leka braskata raleke peta koproskope legerebesh. Shaprayata barana na 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 na. Zatabara la sopele anamande. Ena nano shaya. Rabakabala tabriyas kabala de 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 besha. Shena nananano shaya radaresha. Come on, are you praying? 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 Pray. Come on, pray. Lena na 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 mama rosso bella che pria de 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 che pria. In Jesus mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to pray one more prayer in line with the last thing I said. Your marriage must be honorable. No, believe me. Your home, and let me tell you something in 2 minutes. Listen. You think Satan is fighting your relationship because he wants to fight it? His target is not even your relationship, in case you don't know. There are many genuine relationships that are happening now, but they keep having problems. The Lord told me this some days back. This is Satan fighting it consciously, because any relationship that looks like it's going to bring glory to God, he's fighting it. And I will tell you why. His target is not even your marriage. His target is the church. No, you've not thought of it. What was your marriage? His target is the church. Because if he can get your relationship not working, you enter into marriage, we have... Imagine the crowd of people in this place. All of us now get married. We come here with our wives and we are all quarreling at home. Is this church fine? No, is this church sound? So his target is not even you. You are too small for Satan to clamp around you and you are the only person. His target is beyond you and your marriage. His target is the church. So he's fighting your relationship now. Fighting your marriage. The target is the church. I know many of us have made mistakes, but I want you to pray and make a commitment to God. Because one of the other things I see happening now is where a guy can call a lady, please come and sleep in my house. Are you okay? You are not even married. Come and sleep in my house. What's wrong with sleeping in my house? No, sir. You're going to pray and say, Lord, in case you've made mistakes, fine. Lord, forgive me. But from today, I make a commitment. I want my marriage to represent you. Lord, in case you've not made such mistakes, Lord, keep me standing. Keep me standing. I make a commitment to represent you. Grant me grace. Grant me grace. Grant me grace. I will not disappoint you. I will not disappoint the kingdom. If you are going to heaven, Lord, have mercy. You are going to heaven. Your step is right. For if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Prosper, have you come? No further will you go. Rebaba la na 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 mashate. Le Capriana na braskete bele katia. Ramamba yosopa le Capriana ni. Rabada shoto pokoto bele katia. Come on, are you praying? 1 more minute. 1 more minute, pray. Raba kabala da Brianna Mashata. Rala babo shopele katia la barate. Yanda raba kobos kobele kabriya de elevation. Hallelujah. We are behind time. Can you just lift your hands? I want to speak about your lives before we close tonight. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that from your relationship to your marriage, from your relationship to your marriage, you are going to represent the Lord. And your marriage will bring glory to the kingdom. Your marriage will bring glory to the Father. And I'm praying for you, whoever marries you, marry a gift from God. All the ladies, may God make you become a light to whoever marries you. No man will marry you and regret marrying you. For the young men, listen, any lady that marries you will be grateful to God for having you. You will be an advantage to her. You will be a fulfillment to her. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I decree every attempt of hell to fight relationship, to fight marriages, may the Lord judge them tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I decree and declare this night, for any relationship that is having hitches, is a godly relationship, but many things are not fine, I restore healing right now. I bring the healing power of God. Let such relationships be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. And if there are relationships that are not standing on clean ground, I mean God does not ordain them to be, tonight I decree that let them come to an end. Let them come to an end. You might not be happy, but if it's not for your good, we bring it to an end in the name of the Lord Jesus. And if there are relationships that are supposed to be, but things are not working, I bring order. I bring order. There are relationships due for marriage, but there is no money. Doors are locked here and there. I decree that the windows of heaven be open in the name of the Lord Jesus. This night I pray for those who are due for relationship and you are not in any. If you know you are in something that is not serious, go and end it. Don't live a double life. You are in something you know is not serious. You are not going to get married. Don't waste your life. Drop it. I want to pray for you. Listen. If you are due as a man, as a woman, you are not in any, and you are trusting God tonight. Lord, I pray for everyone that is in that category. The Bible says, for no one shall want her maid. I decree that wherever the person for your life is, may God bring them your way. Let there be a supernatural meeting, a supernatural coincidence in the name of the Lord Jesus. You have been praying, Lord, where is the person? I pray that may God bring them to your life. May God bring her to your life. May God bring him to your life in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are due for marriage. We decree that before the end of this year, there will be a miracle. There will be a miracle. There will be a miracle. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. The marriages that will happen in this place, oh God, will bring you glory. Already people are getting married in this place, but I pray in the name of Jesus. The marriages that will happen in this place will bring you glory. The marriages that will happen in this place will bring you glory. The relationships that will happen here will bring you glory. In 2, 3, 5, 10 years to come, many of you will be walking here with your wife so excited and happy. You will come, park your cars, enter the church with your wife so excited. Whatever havoc the enemy has done to marriages will not prevail over your own. It will not prevail over your own in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Can you just lift your hands and bless his name wherever you are? Lift your hands, give him praise. Give him praise, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to you, Father. Glory to you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now, while everybody remains standing, you know you are here, you are not born again, or you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. You've heard the word of God. The Lord is talking to your heart right now to make things right with him. Please, wherever you are, I want you to run out quickly as we do one song. Don't stay back. Please come quickly. The Lord is talking to you. You can just start coming. You shouldn't even wait for us to start singing. Please come. Respond to the call. The Lord is talking to your heart now. Make things right. Rededicate your life. Please come.
And I have just one life to live, and it must glorify you. I am yours.
God bless you, my brothers. Please come if the Lord is talking to you. Please join them quickly.
I have one life.
I have just one life to live.
And it must glorify.
And it must glorify you. I am yours, O Lord.
And for all eternity.
And for all eternity.
If the Lord is talking to you, please come quickly.
I have just one life to live.
Oh. Time, everyone declare.
I have just one life to live, and it must glorify you.
Oh,
I am yours, Lord,
and for all
eternity.
Can you just pray after me? Those of you who are standing, say, "Dear Jesus, tonight I come to you." Those of you standing, please repeat after me. Say, "Jesus, come into my heart tonight. Forgive all my sins. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. I'm born again. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen." Father, thank you for these people. I decree that may your grace keep and establish them. Let the grip of sin be broken. Let yokes be broken. It is well with you. May the Lord keep you strong. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please, where are they following? Alright, you just take this way. There are people right out to attend to you. God bless you. God bless you. Please celebrate them. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Alright, before we close, you know you are here. This is your first time. Can we just bless you wherever you are? Please come quickly. Come quickly wherever you are. This is your first time here. You've not been here before. Let